Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Get your greasy little face up next to the radio because it's time for America's favorite radio program, Animal Stories. And now here in person is the Animal Stories news team anchorman, your charming and delightful old Uncle Lair, and him in person, little Tommy. Hi, Tommy.
Good morning, Uncle Lair. Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, it's good to hear that coming out of your radio again, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
Tommy Edwards with us. He's got a book out called People Tell Me I Grew Up Listening to You. Stories from behind the mic. And Tommy, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Same here, Bob. Great to talk to you.
You know, I read somewhere that you worked on this book for a long time and that you were always taking notes, that you were taking notes for years and years and years. And here I would see you doing that, and I always thought, well, he's doing a lot of show preparation. How conscientious. But it had nothing to do with your show. It was the book.
Yeah. It all started by when I read a book by Harry Reasoner. You remember Harry Reasoner from ABC News?
Sure.
He wrote a book called Before the Colors Fade, and that title stuck with me. I kept thinking, you know, there have been so many crazy things that I've been able to do and great people I've met and worked with and all that. So maybe I should just start taking notes of things and throwing them in a, you know, throwing them in a file someplace. And so when my kids and grandkids grow up, they can, you know, they can show what some of the crazy things that I did. And eventually, you know, I told Mary Lou about it. I said, you know, I've been writing all these things. And she said, can I read some of them? I said, sure. So she started reading a few, and then she came up with the idea. She said, you know, you got to put this in a book. You've got to organize everything. You got to put it in somewhat chronological order. But why don't we start working on that? So I started working on it. So it took me, you know, maybe 6-7 years to do the whole thing.
Moral to the story, always listen to your wife. She knows best.
That's true.
Larry Lujack had done Animal Stories by himself for years. How and why did you become part of the Animal Stories news team?
It all started with live commercials. As you recall, Bob, before we all went on the air, we had to pull our oldies, which means we had to select what oldies, the goodies we played during our shows. And I did mine in the studio sitting next to Larry in the last half hour of his show. And we had a lot of live commercials back in those days, and most of them in Larry's show were True Value Hardware Store commercials. So he started reading one about shower heads and how, you know, you can get shower head free at True Value Hardware, or you can get it at a low price. I'm sorry. And so he'd look over at me, and I said, you know, that's what I'm getting my mom for Mother's Day. And then it was like a funny bit going back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, eventually at one point the boss walked in and said, you know, you shouldn't be playing with these True Value Hardware Store commercials. The client won't like it. And so Larry mentioned that on the air. He said, you know, little Tommy, I was going to ask Tommy about it, but I've been told that True Value probably wouldn't like it. Well, True Value called and said, we love it. We love it when they talk about our commercials.
So. They should. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy is out in California now. He was born in Topeka, Kansas. How did you end up in Chicago, Tommy?
Well, I started in Topeka, and then during the Vietnam War, I went and joined the Navy, and I was stationed in the Pentagon for about 3.5 years and had an incredible time there. I worked at a radio station in Topeka when I first started up when I was in high school. I had my own show when I was in high school. So after I got to Washington, I thought, well, you know, I wonder if I could get a job at night at the radio station, because I really would like to keep in radio. So I did, and I got a nighttime show, and eventually a tape of my show got to New York, and a fellow in New York asked me to fly in, and wound up going into New York on the weekends, doing a radio show in New York City on the weekends. And then I was, as soon as I got out of the Navy, like I got out October 31st, 1969, and November 3rd, I started full-time in New York. So that was great. But eventually, I really wanted to get into more of a management position, and there were a number of opportunities. So that's when Chicago popped up, and I came into Chicago and got to the assistant program director job at WLS. And there we went on.
And I'm going through your book, and you have a lot of stories about what happened off the air, topless dancing girls and so forth. And I'm thinking, where was I? I missed all the fun. Nothing ever happened in the afternoon with me. How come?
We didn't want anything to distract you.
That was
great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, of all the people Larry Lujak worked with in Chicago, you were one of the very few who developed a long personal friendship with him. You write about it in the book. You'd see him socially and regularly. Why do you think you had that relationship with him?
That's a good question. I really don't know. In the book, it'll reveal that when I first met him, I didn't like him at all. I had just come in from New York, and Larry was about to leave WLS to go to WCFL. He was working out his contract. And I walked into the studio, and I said, "Hi, Larry, my name is Tommy Edwards." He went, "You're the guy from New York?" And I said, "Yeah." And he went, "I don't shake hands with people from New York."
And this was before the pandemic.
Right. And I went, "Oh, okay." And I turned around and walked away. And I thought, who is that creep? You know, I mean, I thought I was listening to him, and I thought he was a genius on the air. But in person, he's not too much of a nice guy. But later, as I explained in the book, I got a phone call about a year and a half after he left and went over to CFL about something that was published that Larry thought I didn't get enough credit for. And out of the blue, he called me and said, "Look, I really think that, you should know that a lot of us out here know that you're the one that came up with this and that, and it was your idea to do this and that. But it's not in the article. But I want you to know that there's a lot of us out here that know the real story." And I went, "Oh, thank you." And because of that, that led to us talking to Larry about coming back to WLS on two or three different occasions. And eventually we did get him back. And so there was a mutual respect thing growing right there. And then the friendship just developed from that.
More about that and also Tommy's career with the Chicago Bulls coming up. The book is People Tell Me I Grew Up Listening to You, Stories from Behind the Mic. All right, Tommy, do you want to do the intros here?
sure. You ready?
Yeah.
And now, the starting lineup for the Bob Surratt Show.
There you go. Tommy Edwards writes in his book about his experience as the public address announcer for the Chicago Bulls. He did that from 1976 to 1981. Tell the story, Tommy, of how you came up with the idea to use this music. And you also got the idea to put a tape cartridge machine in there so you could play various contemporary sounds, right?
Yeah, in the original, when I first started in 1976, Nancy Faust from the White Sox played a portable organ, and we really didn't have much more than that. The only entertainment we had was Superfan, a heavyset guy that would run around the stadium
right,
with a Superfan t-shirt. But the Bulls called me in the off season, and they said, "We really would like to start playing popular music. What do you think about that?" And I said, "It's a great idea." And so we developed, or I helped design a case that had radio station cart machines, cassette player, microphone, and all of that. And I said, "What I can do is I can bring music from the radio station, from WLS, and we can play it during Bulls games. How's that?" And they said, "Fine." So that worked for a while, and I started using Thriller and Billie Jean and some of the things by Michael Jackson to introduce the players. But when Michael Jordan came, they said, "Look, we really need something special. I mean, this kid is going to be a superstar, and we want something really special where he is the last player introduced." And I said, "Okay." And so they said, "Come up with something new." And that, I kept thinking, what am I going to do? You know, I basically, Jan Hammer, the theme from Miami Vice. No, that's not right. So Mary Lou and I went to a movie at the Biograph Theater one evening, and And when the people were coming in, there was some ambient music playing in the background. And all of a sudden, I heard Cirrus by Alan Parsons. And I looked over at Mary Lou and I said, I think this could work. Let me listen to this. And so I listened to it. And I said, I think this could be the new Bulls intro. So the next day, I went out and bought the album, took it home with a stopwatch, and I had the starting lineup already. And I started rehearsing it over and over and over again. I called the Bulls office and said, I think I found the song that we're going to use. And they said, all right, we'll try it the next game. Give it a try. And so I did it, and the Bulls loved it. Michael Jordan loved it. Everybody loved it. And now it's all over the place. And I think Golden State's using it. Mm-hmm. Houston uses it now and then, and I know Utah Jazz used it during one finals game.
And I hope the Bulls reimbursed you for the purchase of the record, Tommy. You got to sit at the scorer's table for all those Bulls games. What could you see and hear that would surprise the rest of us who don't get to do that?
Some of the trash talk. It's kind of fun to listen to these guys do some trash talk out there. Other times, players would come over to the table getting ready to check in. And Bob Rosenberg, who is the official scorer, Bob and I would say, hey, how's it going? And the guys would say, oh, hi. You know, and I remember Daryl Dawkins. Remember Daryl Dawkins?
Sure.
The Chocolate Thunder? Yeah, the guy that tore down backboards. He comes over and sits down, and we say, hey, Daryl, how you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm okay, but, oh, man, I've got my wife spending a lot of money. and he starts sharing all this personal information, and we're looking at each other like, well, okay. Meanwhile, the game's still going on. He's still waiting to get into the game. So finally, there was a stoppage of play, a whistle, and we hit the horn, which signals to the referees that we have a player that wants to come in, and he has to be waited. He has to wait till he's invited back on the court by the officials. And so Daryl's still telling us about this story. We said, Daryl, you need to go on the floor now.
That's great. Those are some of the things that you picked up being on the court there that would surprise a lot of people to hear about. Back to Larry Lujack for a minute, who you write about in the book. And by the way, you could have done a whole chapter just on the Bulls. But regarding Larry, what do you think people would be most surprised to learn about the real Lujack?
Well, I kind of devoted a whole chapter to that called Another Side of Lujack. And what that was some of the funny and emotional things that happened off the mic, off the air. He created a outgoing answering machine thing for me that was so funny that whenever people called and left a message, it would always be laughter at the beginning. People just couldn't believe what they just heard. I talk about that. I talk about, you know, just the different things that he, jokes that he pulled on Mary Lou and all those things. But there was one time when I was in Santa Fe, and he and I had spent the entire day going around Santa Fe. He was showing me his new hometown. And we wound up in his parking, on his garage, and in his car, in the driveway right there at the garage. And he started telling me a story that was something that had been troubling him for a long time. And it got very emotional. And he showed me a side that I had never seen before. It was something that was hard. I mean, I almost started crying along with him. And I thought it was very... very, very emotional for me, but I thought, here he is sharing something that is so personal that I don't know if he's ever done that before with anybody else.
Yeah, and I know you don't really get into the details in the book, but give us a hint. I mean, did it have to do with his childhood, with his family?
No, neither one. Uh-uh. It was something that... yeah, I felt so bad for him. I my heart was aching for him, and I tried to say something to make him feel a little bit better, but I think I realized at that point all he needed to do was vent. He needed to get it all out.
Yeah.
And he did. And after that, we never spoke of it again. And my relationship was even closer at that point.
Yeah, I got to see that side of him. He really cared about people who are less fortunate. He also was unbelievably conscientious. If you were out of the office and somebody called and he took a message, he would run around the entire radio station to find you and make sure he delivered the message. I only have a minute left here, Tommy, but you kept in touch with him during his last days after he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. How did he handle it?
Bravely, he and optimistically, he would tell me that he's got another doctor's appointment. He says, I think I'm going to be better. I think I'm going to get some good numbers when I see the doctor. And I said, oh, great. And then maybe a week later, I would, because I call him every week to 10 days. And a week later, I would say, how'd the doctor thing go? And he, well, no, the numbers are not good. Hmm. He would tell me, share some information about when he was going through chemo and all that. And again, he just needed somebody to talk to. And I was the guy he wanted to unload on.
Fascinating reading about it. People tell me I grew up listening to you, stories from behind the mic. It's available everywhere. Go to Amazon. Tommy Edwards, great to catch up with you, Tommy. All the
best.
Best to you and the family.
And to you.